Hey, I'm Dean Blandino, and as a newly minted Detroit Lions fan, I always listen to Chris and Case on the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who run a 4 minute 40, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions podcast. This is episode 221. This is the official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Jeff the Riz Risden. How you doing, buddy?
Chris, welcome back to the United States, my friend.
Oh, thank you, man. I said 32 hours getting out of here and 22 getting back. I am just so good.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. So glad to be on solid ground again.
We're happy to have you back in our country.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thanks for letting me back in. With all that passport still works. With all that, football didn't stop. It doesn't stop for me. It doesn't stop for you. It just keeps on rolling. So we got a big show for you. First, we're going to understand Matthew Stafford a little bit deeper than we have. We're going to talk about retiring Andrew Luck. We're going to predict the Lions season. We got that and a whole lot more. Great show lined up. Riz, you ready to go, my man?
Let's do it.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, a couple of quick announcements first. Check us out and help us out on the Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan Furum.
Gulam!
Of course, our very first donor, Mathis, and Brian, the Burkheiser Maniac from I Prevail. Join them and everybody else, the Riz, Case, myself, on the Slack. How do you get there? Oh, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. As little as a dollar a month donation gets you access to the Slack and other insider things that we do. And you get to take part in the most intelligent Lions chat on the internet. Riz drops things before he ever writes them. Don't you, Riz?
I have done that on occasion. I've done that in the past week.
Yeah, a lot of breaking news faster. You can see it anywhere. Check it out. Again, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. We give you a little something special. And you give us a little something special. A little dollar a month donation or more gets you all that. Give us a like on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. And on Twitter. The Tweeter Machine at DETLionsPodcast. DETLionsPodcast. The very best place to see the Riz.
With no pants.
Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. You got to get there. We are starting the post-game shows, live shows, starting this Sunday after the Arizona game. It'll be me and Sandman hosting this time. You're going to love it. So youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Subscribe, hit the bell so you get notified when we go live and when our new videos come up. You're going to love it. That's a great way to see all the fun and shenanigans that go on behind the scenes. Rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, iHeart, wherever. We're at all of them. Everywhere you look, we're right behind you. No further than just two steps away. Get in there, give us those 5-star ratings. Remember, those are forever. We love those 5-star reviews. And then also, go on over to the subreddit. You want to give some constructive criticism? We can take that. Good feedback. Help us be better, stronger, faster. Go to the subreddit. Give us the feedback there. And we will listen to you like we always do with our lovely community. Give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or ring us up on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. Leave us a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review This Week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit, and there's a lot of stuff that happened since I left and since I came back. And there's a lot of really good people on Twitter and the subreddit and around that reached out. We got some sad news.
I love Zach Center.
He's no longer. We can love him all we want, but he was released by the Lions. We don't know necessarily what it means for his future, if he has an option to return. He did work out with the Saints. I haven't heard that they've picked him up yet. Riz?
They did not sign him as a...
Okay, no sign. He can come back, though, right? We can see him back in the Lions roster in the future if the need arises, right?
I mean, he knows the playbook. He knows the team. It's not like it would be a big stretch for him to come back. Yeah, he could certainly come back. Remember, he got cut last year.
Yeah.
Now, it was waived injured, and he came back. But, yeah, so that door is certainly open for him.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not – I mean, he was the fourth running back on the team. He wasn't going to be a game day active because he's not great on special teams. The way that he was – I don't know, exalted by certain people, the people who compared cutting him to Barry Sanders leaving.
Yeah, well, okay, that might be a slight exaggeration.
I mean, he's a great guy. Who doesn't love Zach Sinner?
I just want to make sure we get his brain out into the research community in 100% good top condition. That's it.
As somebody suggested on Twitter, he could come back and be the team doctor, and I'd be awesome with that. Yeah, very do
interesting.
It.
Yeah.
That
happen. I like yeah, that. Yeah. He would definitely bring a great perspective there. Yeah, no, it stinks that he's gone, but we knew he was down the depth chart a little bit. He's a great guy. We wish him only the best. If he comes back, that would be awesome. But Zach Zenner no longer a Detroit Lion, and that stung. That one stung. I didn't know if it was that or the news that a hurricane was heading towards my house that had me more sad that day. But moving on to someone who, I don't know if I would put this in your favorite quarterback category, the Boise State fan club hero. But Brandon Powell is no longer with the team, and there seems to be quite a bit of Powell mafia out there, doesn't it?
Oh, my God. Where do these people come from, Chris?
I have no idea.
Seriously.
Brandon, Boise State?
Apparently. They were treating Brandon Powell like he was like Golden Tate and Marvin Jones rolled together into one tasty little donut. My God. I don't get why Lions fans, and I'm gonna slap y'all Lions fans for a second here, and I'm one of you. Why do you love bad players? This happened with Jace Billingsley. It happened with Zach Follett back in the day.
Oh, my God.
You fall in love.
I forgot
the
about
pain him. Train, baby. You fall in love with these guys who can't play a goddamn lick. Oh. And you're, like, obsessed with them. Brandon Powell was the smallest. So he's bigger physically than Tommy Lee Lewis. Tommy Lee Lewis, who also got cut and deserved to get cut, by the way, has a bigger catch radius because he actually uses his freaking arms. He extends them out. He tries to catch a ball away from his body. Brandon Powell, there was two passes in the Houston game. They were perfectly on target, and because his arms are so freaking alligatorish, he didn't catch the ball. You could see Josh Johnson just looking at him like, dude, you got arms, use them. God gave you two flippers for The people who thought that the season is gone to hell because Brandon Powell isn't on the team anymore.
Yeah, that's if the season's gone because Powell is on the team.
This is why I drink, Chris. This is why I drink. Stop doing this, people. Come on. Come on. He's on Atlanta's practice squad. Their receivers aren't that great either after their first three.
Oh, my God.
He's a speed guy who's slow. He runs 4.6. You freaking hate teased Tabor from Florida at his skill position because he's slow. You don't. You love worship. Worship Brandon Powell because he's slow. What? Come on, pick a side. Oh my God, they bugged me, Chris.
Oh my God, Riz. Oh my God, that. So you're sad he's gone. I can see it. I think that's what I'm sensing here.
Yes.
Oh boy! So Kellen Moore is the last time you reacted that way, and that's why I brought up Boise State because I knew. And I do want to go.
You know, I still have one guy on Twitter who comes at me all the time. You know what? They made a mistake when they cut Kellen Moore from Matthew Stafford. He's very matter of fact about it. Now he used to be angry,
right? Right.
And I was just like, you know, I was right. Whatever.
Dude. He's a coach. Okay.
I didn't find the mute button.
He's a coach now, friend. Yeah, no, Brandon Powell.
You know what? I think he'll be a good one, too. Honestly, I think
he'll be a good one. Yeah, I agree. And we just have to make sure we hit the bell here for Riz was right. And okay, so.
Yeah!
since Tommy Lee's gone. Why? Well, because he can't even pull a pass interference penalty. that's the new bell. We're going to ring the bell when Riz is right and Riz is wrong. And that was a Riz is right. You said way back in training camp, week two of training camp, that he will not make the team. And he's not on the team. End of story there. So
somebody from a competing website of mine said that I was full of crap on that too. I'd like him to acknowledge it. It will happen. I'd like him to acknowledge it.
There you go. All right. So two cuts. Those are tough. Other movement going on. There's a lot going on. The roster, especially the bottom end of the roster, is going to get tweaked with. We'll talk about a guy that the Lions worked out a little bit today. And I'm not sure that you know about this one yet. So I'll save that for in a little bit. Let's move on to.
Yeah. So my son played football for the very first time today in an organized activity. So I've been like offline since like 2 o'clock. So I don't know what's going on after this afternoon.
Man. Okay. Well, we have a couple of surprises for you. That's good. I like that.
Great.
The first thing though, I want to talk about, this is a great article in the Ringer. It was in the subreddit, Batman for Hire, put it on there. I'm glad Batman is now for hire. Cause I could use, some Batman in my life, but it's article's called "The Franchise: A Better Way to Understand Matthew Stafford's Decade in the NFL," and it's just a really, really, you know, you guys know I love Stafford. I love me some Stafford because he's such a class guy. He's strong. He's team first. When he commits to something, he gives 100% to whatever it is he commits to, and it goes through just what's going on with Kelly in the offseason, talking about how he's showing up at 5 a.m. to get his workout and studying time in. And like he's leaving the practice facility at 8 or 9 when other guys are showing up for their workout of the day, right? Really interesting. Takes a really good look at him getting pulled in college because he was breaking fingers on receivers. They couldn't catch the ball. When they wouldn't catch the ball or couldn't catch the ball, he got like, I don't say angry, but he frustrated. So he was throwing the ball harder and messing guys up. So they actually pulled him out of the game and put their backup in just so they could complete a couple of passes. So no, it's interesting. It's a really, really good article about him. It talks about his ability to chug beers, as we saw obviously in the one Instagram post, as the beer chug when Aaron Rodgers couldn't put down his little get the nipple off of his beer, yeah, a little sippy cup. Talks about Stafford's world class. I mean, that wasn't even his best, evidently, that they have in that, and he just knocks it down. Orlovsky talks about it, and he said Orlovsky
knows.
Yeah, yeah. Orlovsky said he was pretty proud of himself, though, when him and Stafford, you know, kind of went toe-to-toe with it. And Orlovsky put his down. He'd been called an old man over and over by Stafford. And when he knocked down his beard, he said he felt like he earned a little bit of respect out of Stafford that day, right?
That's great.
But I think one of the coolest points about it, and something to really think about, is, you know, the coaches that Stafford has had, right? They talk about Schwartz and they talk about Patricia being a little bit more conservative on the play calling side. And then even Jim Caldwell, who's maybe more of an offensive coach, was erred on the kind of conservative side, right? And Orlovsky's talking about, he says, what would happen if he had Sean McVay or Sean Payton as a coach?
Right.
Imagine what Matthew Stafford would
an aggressive offensive schemer, a guy who wants your defense to have to get a stop once a game because your offense is going to score every freaking time they have the ball.
Exactly. It's just amazing to think about what would have been. And we'll see what happens. I mean, Bevel's offense is probably not going to be that wide open kind of thing, but I think they're going to let Stafford do the things that he does best. And
what Bevel's offense is it's conservative until it's not, and then they take shots.
Right.
And who throws a better deep ball than Matthew Stafford? Not many. Yeah. Not you count on less than one hand.
Yep. So I want to really quick Glasgow. Graham Glasgow talks about him, and he says, you know, well, Orlovsky first says that Stafford has an immense amount of personal pride in trying to bring a Super Bowl to Detroit, and I truly believe that. I mean, he
100%. He 100% believe that.
He could have left. You know what I mean? He doesn't have to be in Detroit right now. He could easily have demanded a trade, gone somewhere else, not signed the contract, the whole thing. But he did stay because he you know, this is who he is. He's committed. He went to Georgia. They're like, why didn't you go to Texas? He says, eh, Georgia asked. I said, yeah, that's good. Why not? He didn't like the recruiting process. Right. It wasn't his thing, right?
Right.
But when he goes, he gives 110%. So Graham Glasgow talks about it. They say how he has a really unique perspective playing for Michigan and having played with him for 3 years. He's seen, he says, what he's brought to this franchise, this city, and this team, in some ways it goes overlooked, even by our own fan base. And he says they don't recognize what he means, not even just on the playing field, but what he brings to the city. And his play on the field is very, very consistently good. And Orlovsky sums it up at the end. He says he'd rather play as hard as he can, get beat up and lose, and be able to look his teammates in the eye than be phony. That's a pretty strong statement, because you know we know Orlovsky. Orlovsky isn't a BSer, man. He's an honest guy who tells it like it is, and he's not only a friend, but he's a true fan of Stafford and what he has. I just hope that with this team, you know, it's easy when you look at like Barry. We had him for so many years, and then he left, and it was one of those don't know what you got till it's gone. You loved watching it. You knew how great he was, but you didn't realize, I think, even in the day, just how exceptional he was in the league. We've got such a great guy in Matthew Stafford, such a great quarterback, such a committed guy that you're not going to find this in the NFL in too many places in this day and age in particular. I think, you know, you don't have to be a Stafford slappy, just like, you know, but you absolutely have to appreciate what he brings to this team and what he means to this team and how much he cares about the city. It's really impressive. And so it's a great article if you want to read it. It's in The Ringer again. Better way to understand.
The Ringer does very good, very, very good work. I'm friends with Danny Kelly, who's one of their NFL writers. He consistently, like, he puts the work in. I know the people who work there are going at it and doing it honestly. They're good people.
Yeah, yeah. And so speaking of that, I mean, you think about, he talks about playing into his 40s even, and it's all about as long as he feels good and the injuries don't stack up. That's a great deal for Stafford. I mean, there's some other quarterbacks we've seen that are retiring, right?
Yeah. Luck, maybe? Wow, yeah. He's not even as old as, he's 18 months younger than Stafford.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And we'll talk, you know, Andrew Luck, we didn't talk about it on a podcast yet because of my being out of town and everything. I've got some thoughts that are a little bit probably outside the mainstream on Andrew Luck. And,
really?
Which is, I'm surprised. I want to share them. And don't get mad, right? But the consistent drone I've heard is about how courageous Andrew Luck is for retiring, right? I don't disagree. If you're that messed up and it's that bad, I get it. But the thing that I think that there is a part of this that bothers me, okay? And it his decision is his really? Decision, and I respect his decision, right? I absolutely do. I don't think he's weak because of it or anything like that. I'm not saying any of that stuff. But there's one thing about it that does bother me and rubs me the wrong way. And that's about the timing of his choice. Because he signed on, he's supposed to be there for the whole year. Even if he goes on injured reserve, there's a capacity he can play with the team still. And with the other guys that are backing up with Jacoby Brissett, him being there provides value to Brissett, helps him break down film, helps him get ready for games. He could do so much. And the thing is not just from the quarterback perspective, but you have 52 other guys on that team that are expecting to play for that quarterback. Eric Ebron is there. Love him or hate him, he's there because he was part of it is because of the quarterback that was there, right? And players support players, and I get that, and that's right. But the thing is what's the average length of a career in the NFL? 3 years?
Like, not even three. It's like 2.7 years.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got 52 guys on this team right now who are spending one of their 2.7 years, and it's the expectation that Andrew Luck is going to be their quarterback. And if not quarterback, injury is a possibility, but still there. In some capacity. And so the timing on him doing this is it really screws those other guys. And when you look at a career, 2.7 years, that's a third.
It's a small window.
Yeah, that's a third of your career that you committed to somebody who didn't commit back. And that's really, really tough. So that's it. All the other stuff, I don't disagree with the people that say it was courageous and strong and the right thing for him, but.
You're just not cool with the timing of retiring 2 weeks before the season starts.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he could have done it, you know, before the draft, anytime. And I know he probably thinks he was going to get healed, but if he looks at it now and says, I can't do it, he could still say, to his coach and to his GM and say, look, I just can't do the rehab to get in playing shape. Okay. Throw me an IR. I'm not going to hurt your roster, but I can still at least help. I can at least do my part to the team, especially with the team giving him all the money, right? I mean, there's no loss for anybody here. He could have actually contributed in a way, at least, rather than just completely cutting off and walking out. So that's my take on it. You can love it, you can hate it. I don't care. I believe that you, when you make a commitment, you own your commitment to others, and you have to stand up for what you do. I mean, what you promise. That's it.
It's going to be fascinating to see how the Colts do with Jacoby Brissett, who was widely regarded as one of the best backups in the league, and a guy who did start when Luck was hurt. How they respond to him, because he's a very different guy, not just being in terms of quarterbacking, but a very different personality than Andrew Luck.
Sure.
And I'm curious as to how that, you know, they're a good team. I'm not sure they're great, but I'm fascinated by the Colts. Are one of those teams that I'm really curious to see how they respond to, because they got a lot of, you know, we talk about the Bears and how lucky they got last year. Mm-hmm. Colts had a lot of that too. They were very low on the injury level. They got a lot of turnovers that don't necessarily materialize for a lot of teams. Is that going to carry over for them without Andrew Luck?
Yeah.
I didn't want to use the cliche of not having luck with Luck, but. Kind of fits that way,
right?
You know,
and I'll tell you the one thing that just whatever last round of our Champions League draft on the for the podcast, I picked up Jacoby Brissett. I took a flyer because he's one of those guys who could have a really high ceiling, and with your last round pick anyway, it's a low risk. So if you guys if you haven't drafted or if he's open, I'd take him. I would hold him. And see what develops. You can always toss him away and pick up a third string tight end.
Colts just gave him Matthew Stafford money to be their quarterback for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
So
So it's worth it. Worth it, I think, to check out. We'll see what happens there. So with that, we talk about Matthew Stafford money. You know Jeff Bezos, right? You've heard of him.
Yes, I am.
He owns Amazon.
He does.
He doesn't need all that money that you guys are giving him when you shop there. And why not, you know, redistribute some of his wealth back to the podcast and support the show, right? What a great idea. Anytime you go to Amazon, you should use amazon.detroitlionspodcast.com. It'll take you straight to the Amazon site, but it throws Cookie, gives us a little kickback for what you spend there. It doesn't cost you any more. It just takes a little bit of that money out of Bezos' pocket and puts it over here in the podcast pile to help support all the stuff we're doing and all the technology and some of the innovation and other stuff we're working on. So anytime you go to Amazon, go amazon.detroitlionspodcast.com. Everything you buy there comes back with a little kickback to us. It's a great way to support the show by doing something you were going to do anyway. And look, we talk about it. That's the one thing we try to do with all of these things. We try to make sure you get value, or it's something that you were going to do anyway. And it's a way to help us out rather than just say, hey, you know, go buy, you know, give us a kickback, whatever. You know, we just try to make it so you get value out of these things as well. So amazon.detroitlionspodcast.com. All right. I want to ask you something, Riz. What do you think about the DVOA? Where's your head at on that?
DVOA. Okay, so that's Football Outsiders. That is their way of adjusting for level of competition, degree of difficulty, that sort of thing, from what's going on throughout the year.
Right.
I think it's a very useful tool. Once the season has started and you get like 4 to 6 games in, you get a body of work, so you have a baseline where you're not just like, you have enough of a sample size of everything, but you're probably not going to get distorted views. So it's useful to me. It's one of those things. I like to cross-reference DVOA with PFF
their
basic things and kind of see how they balance off one another. And generally, if they're on the same track and reflecting the same things, probably pretty trustworthy. Now, if they're conflicting, then that's where you're, okay, well, maybe I need to pick one or the other.
Right.
So I don't hate it. I think it's useful, especially towards like the end of a year, like when you want to see, okay, you know, let's say the Lions run defense really picked up last year with snaps.
Right, right.
But it sort of contextualizes it because, okay, maybe they just got lucky. Maybe they played teams that were shitty at running the ball. Or did he really make that big of an impact? And they do a very good job of scaling that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I appreciate them for that.
Yeah, for sure. And that's something I think that's you make a great point on that. It's the problem is when you look at the number of data points you have. We talked about it in our machine learning episode last year, using AI to try to apply it into football, in the football space. The problem is there's only 16 games. There's not enough data points to really put those things together. But DVOA, the RAS, PFF, they have their own formulas for calculating, kind of quantifying qualitative information. And it's pretty interesting how they do it. And together, I think you get a good picture of what's going on and can start making some good predictions. But individually, it gets a little dodgier, right? Because it becomes dependent on the model and the flaws that exist in any model that you build. So with that being said, Football Outsiders DVOA projection for this year predicts that the Lions are going to win the NFC North. That was put in the Reddit by a lunch threatener.
Wow. Wow. Really?
Yeah.
I hadn't seen.
Now, we'll talk about our season predictions later. But I have a sense that wasn't going to be what your season prediction was.
I do not have them winning the NFC North. I will tease that. Yes.
Okay. So that's interesting.
So the thing with the DVA, though, is that they're basing it off of last year. And, you know, I haven't seen it, so I'm just going to talk out of my ass here for a second.
No, please. And it's the best place you talk from.
Yeah, it's beautiful down there. Understand, this is me talking with my fans.
You've really got some wonderful hair.
Braid that shit, baby. God dang it, you threw me off. I think that when you're looking at DVOA, it's very applicable to the year that it took place.
Sure.
If you're trying to project what your DVOA is going to be this year, I have some reservations about how you can apply that, because all the teams, including the teams that they're playing, which is a big deal in the DVOA formula, mm-hmm. they're different. So you don't know, okay, I assume that we're going to predict some regression for the Bears, just because what the Bears did last year is going to be very difficult for them to replicate. But how much of that, and how much of it are they predicting versus how much of it actually happens? I'm hesitant to go with things that are based off last year solely, and maybe they do project it forward with the changes that are made on the team, although I can't see where,
other than
Hockenson joining the offense, I can't see where the offense got better in any way.
Yeah.
So
they have the Green Bay Packers falling a little bit based on a number of personnel adjustments. So here's what they're doing, and this is where I think the gap in the model is. They're basing it on players. And if a player switches teams, they bring their numbers with them, and then they use those numbers to adjust how the team would be. Now, that being said, your numbers could be different based on the scheme you're in, and that could have as much of an effect on your DVOA as anything else. So, again, I think that's kind of the flaw in the model when you're trying to do projections like that. But I think you're absolutely right. The end of the year, kind of starting to look back the last four games, I think you're going to be pretty solid on the information you get. But trying to use it as a projection, just from the schematic differences alone, is going to be a different way to fly. I just like the idea that somebody thinks that the Lions are going to win the NFC North. That makes me feel good.
Somebody out there thinks the Lions are good. That's helpful.
I think there's a chance. I absolutely think that there's a chance. There's a lot of things that have to happen this year. We'll
talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. I wouldn't predict it, but there's a chance, and I think. We'll talk about it. All right, so let's move on. Here's someone. This is probably someone who's not going to add to that chance, but after working out for the Bills earlier in the week, former Vikings wide receiver Laquan Treadwell worked out for the Lions. That's Fields Yates Twitter.
Oh, hell no!
Swiggly beat.
No way.
Yeah, Laquan Treadwell, a way to really bring back the mediocrity, or worse, to our receiving core.
He is arguably my biggest draft Twitter victory, because I was the only person who thought that he was going to suck.
Let me ask you, would you prefer Treadwell or Powell?
Oh, my God. Like asking if I'd rather have chlamydia or chronic diarrhea.
Why not both?
I'll take the diarrhea because at least that can go away a little bit.
Yeah.
So, man.
Maybe Treadwell's problem is that people haven't been throwing the ball hard enough for him to catch it.
So when you're a receiver coming out of college and the best attribute that everybody says about you is that you can block well, maybe that should be a red flag. Maybe.
We really need a blocking wide receiver.
To his credit, he's still good at that.
Yeah.
I took so much crap, Chris, from people because I read it. Michael Thomas, and by the way, the Michael Thomas from Ohio State, not the one from Southern Miss who can't make an NFL roster, who a lot of people said was better than Michael Thomas, who's now with the Saints and an All-Pro and going to set the NFL record for receptions in a year this year. Oh, my God, I took so much crap from those people because I liked him more than I liked Laquon Treadwell.
I have to tell you, we're going to get the Riz's right horn. There you go. Time of the style. Straight, baby.
So I wrote the piece when I worked at Draft Breakdown, rest in peace. That he was like Chipotle to me. I don't like Chipotle. I'm one of those weirdos. I'd rather go to a local burrito joint. Qdoba's all right. Baja's good. Not a big fan of most, but I like we have in Texas we had Freebirds.
In
West Michigan here and in Holland we have One Big Burrito, which is an awesome place. We have the Fat Burrito in Holland, which is good. There's a lot of little local places. There's a lot of Mexican influence in the Holland, West Michigan area.
Sure.
I love going to those places. I don't go to Chipotle. And it seemed like everybody was just flocking to Laquon Treadwell like he was Chipotle because you think burrito, oh, Chipotle. You think wide receiver, oh, Laquon Treadwell. I got that one right. Thank you very much.
Good job. Good job, Briz.
Yeah. Sign him, Bob. No. Say no.
I think Bob is on the no train. I hope Bob is on the no train. Although let's be honest, the people down the depth chart at wide receiver in the Lions are in are in Treadwell range, right? I mean, at least he's especially you know what? If you're going with a running offense, maybe you do want a blocking wide receiver. That's probably the best thing you could get ahead of Powell.
And God bless him, he does do that well. I mean, so he would be competing. So number four is Chris Lacy. Number five is Travis Fulgham. That's.
I still have hope for Fulgham. I have hope for Fulgham that he's going to turn into something better.
He showed something in the last preseason game.
Yep.
And I'm hopeful that carries over because he wasn't good in the preseason before that.
No.
I did see that they got rid of his boy, John Duhart, off of practice squad today. You didn't see that this morning.
Yeah.
And brought in Marvin Hall, who was with the Bears, former kick returner for the Falcons, mm-hmm. played some wide receiver for them. I think he actually had a really good, I want to say he had like a 90-yard game against the, might have been the Packers. If it wasn't the Packers, it was the Saints. So he has a good game on his resume against mm-hmm. a good team.
Sure.
He played two years in Atlanta. Couldn't make the Bears this summer. He's on our practice squad now. I have a feeling he might be around for a little while.
Yeah. All right. So I think we can summarize Riz's take on any signing of Treadwell as
the bullshit
and move on.
I love that guy.
All right.
Give me more Boris.
Yeah. We're looking ahead now to the game. But before we do, you got to be prepped for the game. You've got to have your Lions chip bowl. You've got to get yourself going on with your
You need a Lions beer glass like I'm holding up right now.
Oh, heck yeah. You got to have your beer glass. You need – what else do you need? You got to have your jersey. No, you get your Fulgham jersey. Get whatever jersey you want. But you got to have your Lions jersey for the game. You name it. Your tailgate accessories. You name it. Anything out there. You go to fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com and you get it. Right? And you don't have a whole lot of time because the game's coming up. We'll wait. Fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com. Go ahead and type that in right now. There. Fanatics.com. Detroit Lions.
Oh, your word.
.com. There we go. All right. Head on over and order that. Hold on. Get ordered. Set yourself up with all your great Lions gear and support the podcast by doing something you do anyway. All right. Let's look ahead to the Cardinals game. We're going to have a live post game show. I want to make sure everyone knows that fast. Sandman, Andy is going to be on with me. We're going to host that. We're going to be live right after the game. It's like 8 o'clock. I'll probably be over. It's a 4:25 game.
That's right. It's a late start.
Yeah. So make sure youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Subscribe, hit the bell so you know when we go live. We'll take your calls like we always do. It's going to be a good time. A lot of fun there. But let's talk about this Cardinals game. We're going to talk about keys to the game. And I want to start off, Riz, because I think I've really nailed it here. Chad Kanoff, we signed him. He's a Lion. Cliff Kingsbury was interviewed, and as your friend Ben Raven over at MLive said,
Ben Raven, by the way, new Lions beat writer at MLive. He's a great guy. He's a personal friend of mine, pre-existing from our Lions coverage. So really good dude. Follow him on Twitter. He's a great guy. He's also taller than me, and played collegiate basketball at Grand Valley State. So if we ever get like a media basketball scrum working, we're looking pretty good.
Interesting. All right. So this is a good article. He did a good job. This is the first of Ben's stuff that I've seen. So definitely, I would definitely check out his stuff at MLive. Anyway, he says you can hear the frustration in Kingsbury's voice when he talked about our newest practice squad quarterback. And so this is the quote. Pretty much everything Kingsbury said during a conference call with reporters, what he says is exactly what we're going to run in the game. So yeah, that's tough for us. There it is. Keys of the game. We've got the entire playbook, and our buddy Chad is bringing it to us. What do you think, Riz? We're going to win this now?
It doesn't hurt. I will say this, though, and I saw this as soon as he got signed, everybody on Twitter and even in our Slack was immediately like, oh, we're getting enemy intel here. So I will reflect back a conversation I had with Eric Mangini, who, as you know, was like sort of the original Bill Belichick knockoff coach who went somewhere else and, tried to emulate what the Dark Master does.
You got to put Mangini back well in the bottle.
Yes, you do. So I know Eric a little bit. I like Eric. I've had good conversations with him. So he said that when he did it, when he was with the Jets, and he learned this from Belichick, was that he wasn't signing the player from this week's coming opponent to get intelligence. He was signing them so that team would worry, like, oh my God, what's he going to tell them? So it's like it distracts their coaching staff from preparing to play his team. It's like next level. It's like playing Othello against checkers versus chess.
Right.
It's like this whole, meta. And I heard some of the same thing from Bill O'Brien. He talked about it because he did it with a Patriot when the Texans were going to play the Patriots.
Interesting.
And Bill O'Brien is also a chip off that block. And he sort of said the same thing. He's like, you know what? I'm just trying to give Bill something to worry about.
Yeah,
so
no,
I think that's probably like with Patricia. They're not trying to get Cliff Kings. By the way, Kingsbury and Patricia know each other. They coached together for a while, with the Patriots briefly. In fact, I believe they didn't share an office, but they like shared like a mutual wall between it, like one of the like walls. So they know each other pretty well. So I don't think they signed Chad Kanoff because he knows the play. Does it hurt? No, but I think it's more one of those things. Okay, we got a rookie coach over there. Let's put more on his plate so he has less time to prepare to stop Trey Flowers from a pass rush. He's not going to know as much about Jelani Tavai from watching the preseason because he's worried about what Chad Kanoff is going to say. That's where I really do believe that this move comes into play.
Yeah, no, that's
and Chad Kanoff, as far as Kanoff as a quarterback, he was really, really accurate at Princeton. He completed over 73% of his passes his senior year. He was over 70% his junior year. He's a big guy, 6'4", 220 pounds, decent arm, not devoid of talent, but not a guy that's probably ever going to get off a practice squad, but not a bad guy to have around.
Yeah.
He's got, so we were talking about Kellen Moore earlier.
Yep, exactly what I was thinking.
Kellen Moore, I will never, ever criticize his football mind. Guy's smart. He's bright. He understands how to play the game. He just couldn't physically do it very well. I think Kanoff might be in that camp of guy, and I like having those kind of guys around. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you're exactly right. Kingsbury's already got enough, leading the pro football team for the first game with a rookie quarterback already. And now the idea is, oh God, they know what I'm going to do. They know my playbook. Now I've got to out-scheme myself, right? And that becomes very difficult. And it takes everything they did in camp. And it almost throws it out the window. So a brilliant move. And even if they do use them for intel, that's great, right? If they don't, maybe even the fact that they have to change some of the verbiage for the game, right? It just adds another wrinkle to it and helps make it better. Between that and the fact that there's no film on our offense, we know Daryl Bevel. People know what his offense has looked like. Then again, with a year off, you only think because you don't necessarily know what they're going to do. gives
you. Sure, didn't show it in the preseason. That's
no,
sure.
no, he didn't. But it gives you an opportunity now with no film there, with an idea, you know, Patricia and Kingsbury having worked together before, the fact that they think you know their playbook. It gives you a good shot at the week. It just gives you a good opportunity maybe to take it to your opponent in that week's football game. So good. I like the move. I like the move. Whether we you know, glean the intel off him or not.
It'll be interesting to see if he's around next week. I think that would be the proof in the pudding.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so from there, let's talk about the big picture here, Riz. We've got we alluded to it a little bit earlier. We got a team here. It's the beginning of the year. The sky's the limit. It's you know, anything's possible in preseason, and then comes, you know, or in training camp, and then comes the preseason, and you get a couple things, like a couple injuries. Let's hit the injury report real quick, and then we'll get into some predictions. Okay?
Because that matters for this week for sure.
Yeah. So we're looking ahead here, and we know that Jared Davis is ankle injury. He's limited practice. Trey Flowers is on the list with a shoulder, with limited practice. Deshaun Hand, an elbow, limited practice. Rashawn Melvin, a knee, limited practice. And Frank Ragnow, an ankle, limited practice. Does this mean none of them are going to play, Riz?
If you're going to get something from the Belichick tree, they always fluff injuries up. I mean, Tom Brady is on the injury list every week. Every week.
Yeah, questionable.
You know he's so Deshaun Hand, and I'm gonna defer to my colleague at Lions Wire, Eric Schlitt, who is at practice most of the time. He has said that Deshaun Hand has taken the brace off of his elbow, looked fine. So I expect him to play.
Excellent.
Flowers, it's totally precautionary, he's gonna play. I have zero doubt in my mind that he's gonna play. It sounds like nobody thinks that Ragnow is going to miss a game. So with what's wrong with him, I'll say this, and I'll refer to the other team I covered, the Cleveland Browns. J.C. Treader, their center, suffered the exact same injury last year, did not miss a snap, and played very well. He was a Pro Bowl snub, very good player. I have no worries about Ragnow. Davis, I'm a little worried about. I could see him missing 1 or 2 weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see. I do think that's going to be, when they say that's a game time decision, and they will say that at some point this week, I think that's probably accurate.
I think, just from my perspective, Davis doesn't play against the Cardinals. I think you can win without him in there. Of course, you want all your players there, but you don't want to exacerbate that problem.
Jared Davis to beat the freaking Cardinals, you got a whole another set of problems.
Yeah, exactly. I think he gets week one to get better, just to not to risk exacerbating the issue with his ankle. So, all right. So there we are. That's the injury lowdown so far. Let's talk about the predictions for the season, Riz. It's fresh. It's new. We've seen the preseason. They're 0-4 in the preseason. Now we know what happens when they go 4-0. Is the opposite possible? What do you think? You got a Lions team here that's definitely on the upswing, right? You have a coach now who's had a full offseason, not the shortest possible offseason, to prep his team. He's got his people in there now. He isn't trying to hodgepodge together. You got a lot of things working here. They're used to the system. They've got to get the decent defense as a year in the system. What do you think? What do you think that means for the team this year, Riz?
Well, people are going to like to hear this, Chris.
Oh, boy.
I'm actually writing this. As you know, I write for Real GM. I do season previews for all the teams. I lump them all together now. I used to write them out individually, and that just was a colossal waste of my time based on the readership for it. So my NFC report is due tomorrow. I'm going to write it tonight as soon as I'm done, but I've already written the Lions part. I've already written the entire NFC North part. I have the Lions in last place in the division.
What?
Yeah.
Riz, did you not get your grade, Phil?
All right. Do you want me to read it? Let me pull it up here. I will give you all a tease.
All right.
This will get pushed probably about 10 o'clock in the morning tomorrow.
And let's just really quick.
My editor lives in San Francisco, so he posts stuff when he gets up in the morning.
Let's make sure we plug Real GM, because those guys do a lot. I mean, they ship you all over for the Senior Bowl and everything else.
They do.
You got your 10-cent column you do there, which is really cool.
This is my 16th NFL season covering as a paid person for real GM, which is, that's insane longevity in this business.
Absolutely.
I love it.
You got your 10-cent com over there, which I always love. I love every time that comes out.
I get
all over that thing.
And I will have one this Sunday as well. I've already written 2.5 cents on that. Zeke Elliott and the Houston Texans both struck me, so those will be in there.
Excellent.
And I will certainly write about the Lions too.
All right, realgm.com. Let me just read this because I wrote it. Let's get this preview here.
Right. I wrote this yesterday. Okay, so the second year of Matt Patricia's regime, I don't read very well, sees Detroit possessing a fantastic defensive front built around Snacks Harrison, playmaking cornerback Darius Slay, criminally underappreciated Quandre Diggs, and young Tracy Walker give the secondary some teeth too. Patricia's team-specific scheming, that's really hard to say, figures to be very difficult to crack for opposing offenses, though the pass rush still seems a little flat. The issue for Detroit will be scoring enough. I like the commitment to the run game built around Kerryon Johnson, one of the better tackle tandems in the league. Matthew Stafford and the passing game are the key. If Stafford is the guy we saw in 2016-2017 who led the league in comeback wins and game-winning drives, these Lions are a playoff team and the toast of the league. But with a terribly thin wide receiver core devoid of true playmakers, it's more likely they're just toast. I see a lot of 20-13 losses on the way to a 5-11 record.
Ooh, man.
There you have it.
Whoever wrote that is vicious. Vicious.
That's
clickbait.
I hope he's wrong. I hope that guy's wrong.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a little more fatalistic than I am.
To quote the late, great Chuck Daly, a pessimist is an optimist with experience. Yeah, there you go.
Maybe so.
My favorite quote in life.
I see the Lions as a 9 or 10 win team this year. And there's things that have to fall to make that happen, obviously.
That would not surprise me.
Right.
And I tried to convey that I do think this team, and I wrote it earlier this summer too, they have the best chance of being worst to first of any team.
Yeah.
But they also just have odds of coming in last because I like the Vikings. I think the Vikings are going to be really good this year. Mm. They have the exact same team that everybody at this time last year was predicting to go to the Super Bowl. They had a bad year. I think they're going to be better in their second year with Kirk Cousins and with the things that they have there.
And this should be their last top of the pops year with that roster, right? I mean, because the dollars and cents are going to start hitting. And they're not going to be able to push that thing that way anymore. So this is their last gasp. So they're really going to be pushing hard. I don't know. I'm thinking about, you know, if I'm thinking about luck, you know, right? The Viking luck is being bad. It's part of actually what I'm putting my head on here. I just don't think that Vikings team is going to be able to do it.
They did trade a fifth round pick for a kicker that they caught.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
And on the dumbass. On the Bears side, they were so lucky last year with injuries. They had everything go their way. I just don't see that happening again. And with the Packers, they're another one that could be 5-10 or 5-11 or 10-6. You know what I mean? I mean,
let me go over. I have the records picked here. I have the Vikings at 10-6. I have the Bears at 9-7, which is a fairly significant 3 games. Different. That is a regression.
Yeah.
I have the Packers at 7-9, and the Packers are a team that I have done a 180 on this offseason because I really, really liked their offseason moves. But everything I'm hearing from the people who cover that team is that Matt LaFleur, the new coach, and Aaron Rodgers are just not there.
No, that's what I'm saying.
All the resources they have poured into their defensive backfield. And all of them other than Jair Alexander stink. Yeah. You can't spend that many draft picks, first and second round draft picks, on the same position over and over and keep missing. Lions and wide receivers proved that. The Packers doubled down on that with their secondary. So I will never say that a team with Aaron Rodgers is going to be bad. But if he's not awesome, if he's not an MVP candidate, That's not a good team.
Here's my prediction. The LaFleur. Yeah. My prediction is LaFleur is how great a coach he is going to be found out on the next team that he coaches. It's just not going to happen with this Packers team. The ego that exists with Aaron Rodgers is just not going to work. He's he is the coach of the team, right? And LaFleur is going to have to be subservient to him, and it's just not going to be. It's not going to work. Right. I give it 2 years, maybe a third year before he's gone, and at that point, you're looking at Rodgers being pretty old. The whole thing starts to just to crumble, and I can't wait, by the way, but it just starts to crumble in upon itself, and then it's going to be.
So I had them. I initially had the Packers as my champs, but I have scaled that back.
Okay. Minnesota is interesting. I know you're a Kirk Cousins fan. I know you love him to death. I don't think he can carry that team. I just don't think he can. Thielen is great. I know Stephon Diggs is great. I don't see it. I just don't see it. So I very well could be wrong, and I'm willing to blow the horn later this season when we find out. So
we'll see. I hope you do not have to blow the horn for me for being right on the Lions pick, because it's dismal, man. And maybe some of it is that so last year, and you know who I texted this to. It wasn't you, by the way. I texted that I thought this team was going to go 3-13 last year.
I know
that. And somebody talked me off the edge and like, oh no, they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
So I upped my prediction to 8-8, and I wish I would have stuck with it. So this year, nobody's talking me off the ledge. I'm very concerned about the offensive skill position depth, the offensive line depth. Oh my God! If anybody gets hurt for even a series,
yeah, that's gonna be ugly.
Freaking catastrophe.
Yeah,
they are so thin at all the offensive positions. I'm not sold that Kenny Galladay is a one. I'm not sold that. I think Marvin Jones is a good receiver. I think he was made better by the presence of Golden Tate. I think they miss Golden Tate a lot, and I don't think Danny Amendola is going to replace him well. Mm. And their wide receiving depth beyond that is absolute garbage.
I think that
bothers me a lot.
Yeah, I think the Amendola-Hockenson combo is going to be really good for him. You get Treadwell in there blocking. You got Hockenson blocking.
Why do you troll me, Chris?
You can make up, and I think that actually I think the tight end situation is going to help.
I love Hockenson. I think he could very well set the NFL rookie tight end production record.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that's going to help the offense score a lot more points though. I like that they're going to work the middle of the field. I like that they're going to run the ball. One thing that this does, they're going to run fewer plays than just about any other team.
Mm-hmm.
That means that their margin for error on those plays is less. If Stafford isn't great, if Kerryon isn't great, if CJ Anderson isn't great, if Galladay isn't great, it doesn't work. That scares me.
Well, that's really, I think the tight ends and Treadwell as a blocking wide receiver coming in can help you out a great deal if you have one of your offensive linemen go down. I think you can scheme around that a little bit. If you lose a second one, all bets are off. It's donezo, cash it in. Let Stafford save his body and sit. Really, that's the situation there. But it is definitely, and I have to say, this is a year, when you think of the anomaly years where people don't get injured, we're actually due for one. You know what I mean? It's our turn.
That's true.
So I mean, again, you're completely playing odds, and you're pulling that out of your rear. It's hope is not a plan, right? And that's where you are with that. But right. that's what we're looking at with.
I do want to add one thing on the pass rush. I thought last year they did a very good job of scheming up a pass rush. Added Trey Flowers, and I like Trey Flowers a lot. He's not an alpha dog pass rusher. He's good, but he's not Von Miller. He's not right. Jadeveon Clowney. He's not of that caliber. He's never had 10 sacks in a season.
It's going to be
I think that the expectations that he's suddenly be this, you know, dynamo who's, you know, challenging for 15 sacks, I don't see it. Well, and I'm worried that the rest of the league will catch up on what the scheme was to scheme up a pass, because they did a good job of scheming up a pass rush last year. I'm worried that that's on tape now and teams are going to figure out how to combat that.
What's interesting, I think, about the line this year is that we have a bunch of guys that make other guys look better through their presence. They draw a double and someone else gets freed up, right? Snacks is the guy that plugs the middle and he doesn't get the sack, but somebody else does. We have four guys who really do a good job of making everyone else look better. And a really, really, it's the underrated, right? It's the underrated part of the job, right? They don't necessarily get the sacks, but they're the ones that enable them. One of those guys has to break free. If they are all as good as that, at that, one of them has to break free, and you're going to see guys probably have career years if this works the way it's supposed to. You'll see Flowers all of a sudden be a sack monster. You'll see Snacks get the most sacks of his year, right? Somewhere along the way, that's going to break free, and that's going to open up. Hopefully, right? Again,
I really hope so.
But you're counting on that with a bunch of guys that make everyone else better. So we'll see if one of them steps up into that position and how that goes. Really quick, don't forget, if you're going to go to any of the games or concerts or anything else, go tix.detroitlionspodcast.com, tix.detroitlionspodcast.com. Take over to SeatGeek. Again, they give us a kickback. Let you pick your seat, not having someone else pick it for you. That's the way to go. One last thing. I do want to talk about, I gotta say, he's a friend. And I mean it when I say it. It's not that I have to, but it's the truth. Dean Blandino. You've heard of him, right?
Dean. Dean helped me out the other night. I tweeted to him, and he tweeted back and got slammed in my mentions, but he answered the question properly. So
People
hate him. People reflexively hate Dean, and
they need a hug.
He's such a good dude.
He couldn't
have been better to us. He's a great guy.
He's got the right motto, man.
This guy needs a and I'm going to find him and just give him a big
We love you, man. Dude.
Yeah, he's awesome. And look, you may not like the calls. He wasn't on the field making the calls. He's the one that had to explain it after they were made. So that's that, all right? You can get as worked up as you want about it. You can be an angry person, and I'm sure you're a lot of fun at parties. But at some point, you got to take a deep breath and get over it. For those who have matured to the point where they can get past that kind of thing and look at the world through not a hateful eye, Dean's got his new podcast starting out on Monday, the 9th. I really, really recommend you guys check it out. We're going to be guests on it here shortly, and we're going to have a couple other people join it as well as a result, a little bit of crossover stuff. It's called Good Calls. It starts on Monday the 9th. Dean Blandino, check it out. It's going to be on Apple, on the podcast there, probably all the other places as well. Give him a listen. Give him a download. He definitely deserves it. The guy's a smart guy, and he is genuinely a wonderful individual.
Yes, I
always talk about it. Went from the Fire Blandino hashtag to, you know, every time I go back to California, we're having dinner and hanging out and talking, and we're tweeting, texting back and forth. We're texting back and forth during the Michigan game while he was doing that.
He made a call in that game where he said they needed to overturn it. He was right.
Yeah, he was absolutely jumpy. Right. Yep, he knows what he's talking about. All right, with that, we will talk about this being the end of the show. Thanks for joining us. Remember, it needs your involvement. Go to the subreddit, leave your comments, let us know how you want to see the show improve. We appreciate that. And, of course, give us the 5 stars on all the aggregators, your iTunes, Google Plays, all that, iHeart, Spotify, blah, 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 blah. Don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. $1 a month gets you into the Slack chat, the most intelligent Lions chat in the universe. And it helps us out as well. It's a great way to do that. $1 a month, not a whole lot. You can give more. Don't be shy. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and on Twitter at DETLionsPodcast. DETLionsPodcast, the very best place to see Jeff the Riz.
With no pants.
Oh, my goodness. Don't forget, we got a live show after the Cardinals game. It'll start probably about 15 minutes after the game ends. And if you'd like to get on the show, give us a call via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, or call us on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. Leave a message. We'll put you on the show. And, you know, you can call us there on the live show as well and take part. Be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Subscribe to the podcast so we can pop up in your little box automatically. Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs, no problems, because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bag, start the plane. This show is over.
Hey, Dean Blandino here, and I can tell you unequivocally that call was 100% wrong.
How much do you think it would cost to get Zach Zinner to do one of those, like, naked sushi things?